When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
This is Unsportsmanlike with Evan, Candy, and Michelle, coming to you live from the Seaport, brought to you by Grey Goose. You heard the voices there. Jay Reynolds, SportsCenter all night here on ESPN Radio. And then Q Myers from Game Night on ESPN Radio, based in Vegas, as part of the ESPN Vegas family with 1100 AM there in Vegas. And, of course, the host along with Emma Golden on Game Night here on ESPN Radio. The big news overnight, the firing of Raiders head coach Josh McDaniels and general manager Dave Ziegler. It's weird. I think all these things I'm about to say can be said, all be true, and all have different angles to them. I think everyone looks back at the Raiders hiring of Josh McDaniels and says, I told you so. Not me. I was wrong. I thought it would work. And says, I told you so. Everyone also looks back at this last night and says, wow, I'm surprised they did it so quickly in the season. And also says, what were you waiting for? You should have done it in the offseason. It feels like all of those angles and those topics of conversations have all been out there over the last couple of days here with the Raiders.
Yeah, but a lot of people thought that Josh McDaniels would have success because of the coaches that were hired in that cycle a couple of years ago. He's the one that had experience. He's the one that had a playoff win. Now, Doug Peterson actually won a Super Bowl, and I would contend that you would have been better off going with him, Brian Daboll, or Mike McDaniels, either one of them, because they've all gotten their teams to the playoffs. But I guess when you look at the Josh McDaniels fit for the Las Vegas Raiders, given what they were coming off of, having to move on from John Gruden after the scandal with the emails, having to process and move on from the Henry Ruggs tragedy, dealing with the Chandler Jones of it all this offseason, it just felt like it was going to be an untenable situation. And then looking at how it worked out early on, after you made the move to get Devontae Adams, Devontae Adams wasn't on board with what Josh McDaniels was doing in terms of overall program development. And that represents a problem for ownership when the best player on the team is sounding the alarm and saying that something has to change. And this is not something that Devontae has been doing over the last couple of weeks. This is something that he has been saying over the past calendar year, even going back to the end of the 2022 season last year, where they benched Derek Carr, Devontae was saying something needed to change with the organization. Well, guess what? He's gotten his wish. Something is changing in a big way. They're moving on from the GM and the head coach.
Absolutely. And as we try to dissect this, you know, naturally we want to have blame pie. Who are we going to blame more for this? Is it Josh McDaniels or is it the Las Vegas Raiders, who have had a lot of churn at the head coaching position and sure, a lot of drama around the organization? But to me, it's more confirmation bias with what I felt about Josh McDaniels, not only just as a head coach, but outside of New England. We have not seen him have success outside of Bill Belichick and outside of the New England Patriots. He inherited a team that was 10-7, and he went a combined 9-16 without a playoff appearance since he's been with Vegas. We've seen them drop in almost every offensive category since 2022, including points per game, yards per game, and total QBR. And this is a guy who is supposed to be an offensive genius. It didn't translate in Denver. He left the Indianapolis Colts at the altar. He didn't have success as the offensive coordinator of the St. Louis Rams. He didn't have success now in Las Vegas. When are we going to finally say that Josh McDaniels has run out of opportunities outside of New England?
But are we holding that against someone? Like, are we holding that against someone? Like, hey, you've been really good in one system for a long period of time. You've been elite in that system. You've worked for a company and you've been awesome at it. You go somewhere else, you're not as good. Like, what?
Well, you're in a different role.
But
though.
You're hiring him to do a different role other than the role that he's really good in, assuming that the success he had in that role is going to translate elsewhere. And it has not, whether it's a head coach or an offensive coordinator.
So, okay, then I guess let's do it this way. Mm. Is it a bad thing if someone then says, I'm great at this, I don't want to do something else? Like if Josh McDaniels says, you know what,
no, but
I am
this,
made to be the New England Patriots offensive coordinator.
But this with these people surrounding me. I think that's an important thing to note here.
Yeah. Well, he was successful without Tom Brady. And the Mac Jones was only good in his first year, and that was with Josh McDaniels.
Sure.
They made it to the playoffs that year. He was literally only good with Josh McDaniels. And he's working for a guy now in Bill O'Brien who's been a successful NFL and college head coach. It's not like he's a schlub as the offensive coordinator. I just think it's interesting that we hold it against people because it's almost like we're saying to them, you should be disciplined enough to not take another job. That's hard.
No, I put it more on people in the NFL that keep giving him opportunities, expecting there to be a different result.
So agreed, then it's on the Raiders.
Agreed. And that's why when we start giving the obit about why they've gotten to this point where they had to fire their head coach and general manager before the midway point in the season, I blame the Raiders more so than I blame Josh McDaniels. They ain't but 32 NFL jobs. And if somebody wants to hand me one, I'm damn sure going to take it. And they decided to entrust their franchise amid all of this swirling controversy with the Henry Ruggs tragedy and the John Gruden scandal. They gave it to Josh McDaniels. And Josh McDaniels is not somebody that we've seen as a head coach that is going to quell all of the dysfunction and all of the noise surrounding the situation that he was stepping into in Vegas. He's not that type of personality. He doesn't have that type of demeanor. He doesn't have that type of presence. So the fact that they went out and hired him versus somebody else that they could have hired during that cycle, to me, I put that on Mark Davis. And that's the only person that you can blame for the dysfunction that we've seen over the last couple of decades because he's the common denominator. The Raiders have had 12 different people be their head coach over the last 20 years. By far the most in the National Football League. There's a reason for that. It's because of the owner. And so at this stage, they're going to have to go out and find a qualified candidate that we know can coach and cede control of the franchise to that person. Make that person the football czar. Similar to what franchises did with Bill Parcells when he was with the Miami Dolphins, when he was with the New England Patriots, when he was with the Dallas Cowboys, when he was with the New York Jets. Give control to a good football mind, a coach that you've seen do the job, somebody that's shown you proof of concept, and let them decide how to build this team and how to develop your program. Let them be the ones to go out and hire the general manager, get the scouting staff right, get the coaching staff right. Hire that person and get the hell out of the way. Now, who that person is and why they would be interested in the Raiders job is beyond me. But in order to get the most qualified candidate, you're going to have to dangle a carrot. To me, the carrot beyond the dollars and cents is control, complete control over the franchise.
So with all of that said, I think the most important thing that you just said right there, and they were all important, but why that person would want that job. Because that answers the question.
Because it's an NFL head coaching
right,
job.
Right, but small as that, are. That answers the question as to when you just asked the question about is it more McDaniels or is it more the Raiders? The fact that CeCe could sit here as an 11-year NFL vet and say, that person that would be great enough to be in charge of everything should not want that organization until proven otherwise, means this is not about Josh McDaniels. This is about the Raiders. It's what it's about. And because what Josh McDaniels gave you, and I was wrong. I thought Josh McDaniels would be successful with the Raiders. Dead wrong, okay? But what Josh McDaniels gave you with the Raiders was the exact same thing he gave you with the Broncos. A year and a half. He gave you a year and a half. You knew exactly what was going to happen. He did the same thing twice.
Well, at least with Denver, he got to the playoffs and won a playoff game.
He got to the playoffs. Was he the coach with the Tebow?
With the Tebow, yeah. He was
okay,
the coach with the Tebow.
So he was the Demaryius Thomas may rest in peace game. Yeah, right. So, okay, so he was better there.
Yes.
Than he was here
and
with
and
the Raiders.
And it wasn't great there.
Right.
No, it wasn't great.
So, but again, but in essence, he gave you the same thing, right? He gave you the same thing. So when a guy does it twice, that obviously is on the ownership with the Vegas Raiders. So when you have this many coaches in this amount of time, you have some off-the-field stuff, obviously, with the Gruden situation that I know didn't necessarily happen on your watch. But the reality is this is on the organization. Josh McDaniels is who you thought he would be or the detractors thought he would be. And that's what he gave you here. And that's why I think in answering this question, it has to be more on the organization.
Okay, so if Josh McDaniels is who we thought he was, if we're going to go that route, I think it's safe to say all of us agree he's not going to be a head coach again in the NFL, right?
No.
Do you think he'll be an offensive coordinator elsewhere?
Yes. Because,
but if we have come to this conclusion that outside of New England, outside of Bill Belichick, he's not going to be able to replicate that success, why would another organization want to bring him in as their offensive coordinator?
Because you're not putting him in a position he hasn't been successful at. And I understand you're going to bring up the Rams, but that's 1 year versus a decade of other years. I mean, you've got to be fair on that.
The whole point, and I'm not taking away what he did in New England, but he clearly had success with Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. And outside of that, he's not been able to prove that he can really replicate that in any way.
Yeah, I would. I mean, if you said to me right now, let's just play it out, and you could bring him into the Chargers. Do I think he would be better as an offensive coordinator than Kellen Moore? The answer is yes, I do. I think he'd be better than Kellen Moore. If Mike McCarthy wants to bring in an offensive coordinator one day, would he be better than no one? Yes.
But yeah. Here's the thing. I'm not going to sit here and say that Josh McDaniels can't coach in the NFL now. I just think there's a difference between offensive coordinators and head coaches, and I want to issue that retraction because he was the guy that drafted Tim Tebow, but the playoff game was John Fox, right. So that was the season afterward. But I guess my whole point with the Josh McDaniels of it all is there was no evidence that you could point to that he would be a good NFL head coach. And 2 years ago was a point in the Raiders franchise where you needed stability, where you needed to have somebody that you knew could do the job. Now, it could have been Rich Bisaccia, the interim head coach that went 7-5 in the middle of that mess that was the Las Vegas Raiders in the 2020 season. You could have done that. You decided you didn't want to do that. You wanted to go a different direction, and that's your business. But I guess my whole point is this. Now that you're back here, go out and get somebody that you know can do the job, not somebody that is a projection. And to me, you got to have somebody that shows you tangible evidence that we've seen have success as an NFL head coach, just because there are so many degrees of difficulty, so many different layers to this Raiders job because of all of the dysfunction that's been happening year over year.
So maybe in the cleanest way I could attempt to say this, basically what you're saying is Mark Davis should come out there and say, don't bet on me anymore. Bet on him.
Yeah.
Because the Josh McDaniels was a bet on me. I'm going to be right where other people have been wrong.
Yeah.
Instead, let's just use Mike Tomlin, just for argument's sake.
Yeah.
I'm bringing in Mike Tomlin. If I get this wrong, this ain't on me, because you all would have done the same thing that I just did.
Yeah, just basically tell everybody that you don't know what you're doing. Because it's obvious. We got eyes. We can see you don't know what you're doing. There's no reason you should have 12 head coaches over 20 years. You don't know what you're doing. Go out and find somebody that does know what they're doing, pay them what it costs, give them what it takes, and whatever other resources that you have to allocate in order to acquire that person, do that. Because that's the only way this franchise gets on solid footing.
Coming up, Bill Hancock is the executive director of the College Football Playoff. They released their first rankings last night. We will talk to him next on Sportsmanlike ESPN Radio.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRICEbikes.com.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Evan Canty and Michelle are unsportsmanlike.
Ohio State took the number one spot, two-time defending national champion Georgia, right behind them at number two. Michigan is number three, while Florida State is number four.
I want to see who you beat, how you beat them, and as we progress through the season, are you playing better? You look at Ohio State, and you can't tell me those people sitting in that room, they don't watch how you're playing. Are you getting better? Are you getting worse? Sometimes a win is not just a win.
The biggest takeaway is that Florida State might be under some pressure to finish as an undefeated ACC champion.
It is Unsportsmanlike here on ESPN Radio, along with Michelle Smallman, Chris Canty, Evan Cohen with you. Samsung is awesome. Let me tell you why. This Saturday, Get game time ready with the Samsung Bespoke four-door flex refrigerator with Family Hub Plus from the Home Depot. And, of course, the Home Depot brings you College Game Day every single Saturday as college football front and center. The first college football playoff rankings came out last night. They will be released every Tuesday on ESPN. And, of course, we will have them to discuss every Wednesday. Ohio State is number one. Georgia is number two. Michigan is number three. FSU, four. Washington, Oregon, Texas, Alabama. Round out your top eight in the college football playoff. Their biggest takeaway, obviously, is Ohio State is number one. We had a two-time defending champ in Georgia as number two. And joining us now to discuss it is Bill Hancock. He is the executive director of the college football playoff. Bill, thank you for joining us here on Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio. How important to Ohio State's number one ranking were the two wins against Penn State and Notre Dame?
Well, first of all, good morning. Thank you for having me on. I have a deep St. Louis connection. My sister-in-law lives in Soulard.
Nice.
And my grandson goes to Webster University. So how about that?
Amazing. I love it. Always love a St. Louis connection here on Unsportsmanlike.
Yep. You bet. those victories were important. I'm not sure any other team had two wins like those two that Ohio State had.
Yeah, Bill, I'm looking at the latest rankings, and I'm looking at where Florida State is. How much pressure is it on them to go undefeated to stay in the college football playoff picture?
Well, you know, there's so much more football to be played for everybody, and anything can happen. I don't want to talk about one team over another one as far as pressure, but folks need to keep on winning. And then it is a matter of what happens with the other teams. So keep on keeping on. That's my advice.
Bill, which team caused the most difficult discussion points in determining these first rankings?
Oh, I can't really cite any that were any more difficult than others. Obviously, the top four always takes a lot of review. But, you know, the committee spends as much time on the rest of the top 25 as they do on the top four. The top four are important, but, you know, that 23, 24, 25 is just as important to those schools.
Talk with Bill Hancock, Executive Director of College Football Playoff here on Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio, along with Michelle Smallman, Chris Canty, Evan Cohen with you. The allegations and investigation into Michigan currently mean what as it relates to their college football playoff ranking?
It really didn't mean anything. The key word you said is allegations at this point. That's all they are. And furthermore, our committee's job is just to rank the teams, period. We are not an investigative or a regulatory body. We just rank the teams.
Have you guys asked Michigan AD Ward Manuel, who I believe is on the committee, anything about this?
It came up, of course. It came up in casual discussion. There wasn't any discussion of it in the committee meeting itself, because it's not a part of our protocol. But goodness gracious, we all knew about it. Everybody knows about it, and there was conversation with Ward, but not as part of the official meeting.
And Bill, just to wrap it up here on this, just so we understand, when teams are being discussed and their athletic director or a member of their university is in the room, do they recuse themselves from that discussion?
Yes, they do. They're out of the room. If they're an athletic director at a school, or if they have a family member who is employed at a school. Boo Corrigan, the chair, his brother is the lacrosse coach at Notre Dame. So Boo is recused from Notre Dame.
Well, Bill, we wanted to check in. Obviously, it's the first of many rankings. I'm sure we'll check in along the way. We wanted to get some of the questions that we had answered. So we do appreciate your time, and thank you for a couple of minutes.
Well, thank you so much for having me on. Y'all take care.
All right, there he is, Bill Hancock, Executive Director of the College Football Playoff Committee here on Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio. Let's go back to this Michigan thing, because we have all of the controversy going on. The Athletic, Nicole Auerbach, reported that there was maybe possibly, I have to do maybe possibly because we don't know right now, the video and pictures of Connor Stallions, the man in question here with Michigan, on the sidelines of a Central Michigan-Michigan State game.
Yep.
We don't know if that was him, not him, whatever it may be, the extent of this. Do you think that maybe this should play into their decision-making as it relates to Michigan here?
I don't know that it does, because you're talking about the on-field product. Now, listen, and them gaining an unfair competitive advantage seems like something that's, you know, the responsibility of the governing body of college football. That's not what the college football playoff is. So I think this is a situation where their realm is solely based on what they're seeing in between the white lines in the actual games. It's not what's on the periphery. Even right. though this is going to be noise, this is going to be a conversation that surrounds Michigan, I don't think this should impact the committee's logic when it comes to picking the four best teams to be in the playoffs.
Yeah, it's really hard to penalize a team and what they're doing now when this investigation hasn't been wrapped up yet. And these are, as Bill Hancock said, just allegations at this point.
So this is surrounding Central Michigan's sideline. Central Michigan's head coach is Jim McElwain. People probably remember that name initially from Florida, was a Saban assistant for a while, has done a good job at Central Michigan. He was asked about it today at his early morning press conference.
You know, before we go any farther, we've obviously are aware of a picture floating around with the sign stealer guy. You know, our people are doing everything they can to get to the bottom of it. We're unaware, totally unaware of it. I certainly don't condone it in any way, shape, or form. And, you know, I do know that his name was on none of the passes that were let out. Now we just keep tracing it back and tracing it back and try to figure it out. But it's in good hands with our people. And again, you know, there's no place in football for that.
So he did indict his university on one thing just now. This is not a Central Michigan story. This is a Michigan story. But he just confirmed there was somebody on their sidelines in their coaching getup that they didn't know who it was. He did not say, I don't know why that's the case. That's Bob Smith. He's our graduate assistant that played for me back in the day at Colorado State, whatever it is. He just confirmed there was someone on the sidelines that he did not know who it was. In their coaching getup.
But that's an indictment on the school.
That's
an indictment on the security staff, the people at the stadium. How is that even allowed? You can have somebody that's trying to impersonate a staffer, but there's a reason why they have these passes. There's a reason why they have security on every sidelines, college and the NFL. They're trying to keep the areas that are secure and that are sensitive, that just that. And the fact that it wasn't is not just an issue when it comes to what Michigan was trying to allegedly do, which is gain an unfair advantage, but it's also an indictment on what they were doing in terms of their game day operation and security. That has to be buttoned up. That's an NCAA issue. That's a stadium issue. It could potentially be a municipality issue with where the games are being played. So all of those things factor into the math. You could potentially be talking about law enforcement being involved with the lengths that this individual, Connor Stallion, is alleged to have gone. I stop short of wanting to put all of this on Jim Harbaugh and say that he was fully aware of it, but it sounds like, based on the NCAA bylaws, that whether he knew about it or not, he's going to be held to an account, and I just don't know that that's fair.
Isn't that what we always say, though, about coaches, is that they're supposed to know everything that's happening within their program and within their walls, within their locker room? This is what we say all the time about coaches. Like, even if you directly didn't know, let's just assume that he went completely rogue. Connor Stallions went completely rogue. He somehow found a way to get into the stadium. He got the garb, and he was stealing the signals. He got the glasses on his own and never told Jim Harbaugh about any of it. But isn't that somehow still a Jim Harbaugh issue, that you're have someone in your employ that's doing this?
Ordinarily, I would agree with you, Smalls, but it feels like the NCAA is doing the circle back because they haven't been able to nail down Jim Harbaugh with the NCAA recruiting violations. Remember, he was supposed to serve a suspension that was issued by the NCAA on the eve of the season, thought better of it. Ward Manuel, Michigan Athletic Department, issued a lighter suspension, and it feels like this is the NCAA trying to find something else to exact disciplinary action on Jim Harbaugh. If it was just in a silo, I would agree with you. But because you have the other stuff around Jim, it feels like one way or the other, the NCAA is going to get their guy.
What Jim McElwain did today is going to make this story even bigger, because he confirmed something that CeCe just said that needs to be reiterated. This has gone now from, this is going to sound extreme, but it's true. It's gone now from an NCAA story to a law enforcement story.
No doubt.
Because we're actually talking about trespassing is what we're now talking about, because of what Jim McElwain just said this morning. He's saying, I don't know who that person was in the team-issued gear on my sidelines during a football game.
And his name wasn't on any of the lists.
It doesn't matter if his name was on the list.
But I'm saying he doesn't know who the person is.
But I'm saying he's confirming, though, that that there was someone whose name was not registered with the team.
Correct. By the way, there's more drama involving coaches. There's a story out that we have to get to. An NFL team has made a move, not at the head coaching position, but there's some drama around coaches. We will get to that coming up. It's on Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It is Unsportsmanlike here on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Well, we know that Josh McDaniels gets fired as head coach of the Raiders. The general manager gets fired, Dave Ziegler. And that's based on football-related reasons. They were not good this year, 3-5. Devontae Adams not getting the ball enough. Jimmy G has not been successful for them. Okay, we can discuss football-related firings around the NFL all day. That's commonplace. How about non-football-related firings? 8 games into the season, times 2, which we have now with the NFL and the Chicago Bears. Courtney Cronin, ESPN's Bears reporter, just tweets confirming that Bears running backs coach David Walker was fired on Tuesday due to a matter involving the team's HR department. Ooh. Walker is the second assistant coach to leave the Bears staff in season. The Athletic was first to report that. We have now seen 2 Bears coaches leave, get fired, quit, however you want to say it.
So the defensive coordinator,
Alan Williams, I believe,
Alan,
right?
Williams.
Yep.
And now the running backs coach, David Walker.
For non-football reasons, to our knowledge. You ever seen anything like this before?
No. And this has to be an indictment on the head coach, Matt Eberflus, who's responsible for putting together the staff. And then Ryan Poles is the one who okays the hires with the staff members. So this is a problem for the Chicago Bears. We talked about how much of a dumpster fire this organization is and how they haven't been able to develop franchise quarterbacks. But the problems internally go deeper than just picking the wrong personnel. I mean, you're talking about a level of dysfunction that you don't see when you start thinking about professional sports organizations. So this is a situation now where their team president, he's going to have to consider cleaning house at the end of the season. Like, I know Kevin Warren is probably not in love with the idea of having to fire everybody.
Yeah.
But I think that's where we're at right now with the Chicago Bears, because how could you trust anybody in the building given what we're seeing on and off the field in Chicago?
So we just had this conversation about the Raiders and how Mark Davis is a huge contributing factor in one way or another to the lack of success that they've had. Why don't we keep that same energy when it comes to the McCaskies and the Chicago Bears?
In Chicago, they do. I mean, you lived there in Illinois for a while.
But nationally, it's easy to look at Mark Davis because he's more visible and because of the haircut and because of the personality and he's quirky and point the finger at him. It's easy for us to do it with Jerry Jones because he's so visible. But there are other ownership groups, Cleveland, Chicago, where they have had turmoil. And if we're going to do this with owners, we need to do it nationally with the McCaskies, too.
You're probably right.
Who's the McCaskey that you want to blame?
I'm just saying.
Virginia.
She's 100 years old.
Well, you know what?
Who are we blaming? Listen, we don't have clarity on who's going to.
I respect my elders, but it has been a hot mess in Chicago.
Well, here's the other thing.
For a long time.
Perception.
Michelle Smallman, ageist.
Perception matters, though, Smalls.
Person of the land of Lincoln, I'm just saying.
You got to
keep that energy.
Odd tie-in to Virginia McCaskey and James Harden, but here we go.
Okay, here we go.
I think this is going to work.
Okay.
Maybe. We'll see. Yesterday, you asked the question, people go back on the ESPN app and listen to our podcast, why don't we have that same energy for James Harden about winning and losing like we have other superstars? And the perception about Harden is, well, he's in LA because they have great nightlife. He's not there because they want to win a championship or they're worried about winning a championship or anything like that. When one family in the NFL has the moniker because their dad said it, just win, baby, we're going to hold winning against the Raiders. That's what Al Davis and his family is. Just win. Well, if the only thing that matters is winning and you don't win, that's easier to blame Mark Davis. Plus, we see him more. If Mark Davis walked in the room, we'd know what he looked like. If Virginia McCaskey walked in the room, I wouldn't know it was her. I have to be honest. There are some ownership groups. You just brought up another one. Who was the other one?
Cleveland. There's been turmoil.
Now, Jimmy Haslam, I think maybe people would know, but probably not.
Virginia McCaskey would have to roll into the room. I mean, that's a different story. I don't think she's walking in the room.
She's taking her time, okay?
Respected or check it.
Just clarifying now.
I'm just saying.
Respect it. Or check it.
I'm doing this for my people. On Unsportsmanlike. All right? Because you know that
which means somebody would have to roll her. She doesn't mean like, hey, let's bowl Virginia
McCaskey.
They see
me rolling.
They're hating.
I am hating.
My assistant
coach is riding dirty.
Let's be clear. Michelle Smallman wants us to go after a 100-year-old woman today.
She wants us to go after
the 100-year-old. Look out, Estelle Getty, if you're still alive. Betty White, Michelle is coming for you next. May she rest in peace.
I was going to say, she's no longer with us.
I understand.
Oh, my gosh.
Who's the oldest woman in America? Because
why does it have to be
Smalls?
A woman?
Because Virginia McCaskey is literally a woman.
I know.
You went after the 100-year-old woman.
I don't want to just go after one elderly woman. I'm just saying.
You did, though.
You just did, though.
Well, am I wrong?
Go after a 100-year-old woman? Yes.
I said the McCaskies collectively, the ownership group of Chicago. This is beyond one head coach and one GM. This has been going on in Chicago for a long time. The Bears should be one of the crown jewel franchises in the NFL. And it has been nothing but disaster after disaster for many years. And just because Mark Davis has a bad haircut and just because Jimmy Jones does weekly interviews does not mean that other ownership groups should be absolved of us giving them the criticism that they deserve. You guys want to make it about one specific.
All right, you know what? Let's be fair. Coming up, CeCe and I will go after Dick Van Dyke. And that's Mel Brooks, look out. You're 97. You're in our crosshairs. I see you, Judy
Dench.
Oh,
my God.
We're not
Julie
blaming
Andrews.
Kevin Warren for this,
Sophia
are we?
No. He just got there.
There are people above Kevin Warren that are making
somebody
this
in
higher.
Somebody in the McCaskey family has to be the fall person.
Somebody.
Well, how do you fall if you're already on the ground?
Wow.
That's small. Don't put this on me. You want her roll down the alley like she's a bowling ball, and Smalls wants us attacking a 100-year-old lady.
To be clear, I said the McCaskey family. You're the one that said Virginia.
Well, she's the owner. She's in charge.
That is our unsportsmanlike moment of the day.
We're just a secretary.
Congratulations. We already got it.
Are we respecting it and checking it?
I respect everything that Evan just said. That's funny as hell.
Yes, Smalls, what do you got?
Oh, my
God. Come
gosh.
On, Chicago. Back me
oh,
up here.
Oh, man.
All right, the 49ers made the most impactful trade yesterday. Respect it or check it?
Respect it just because they're the best team that made a move. Yes, if you're talking about yesterday specifically, right? Montez Sweat going to the Bears. We just discussed them. He's maybe pushing McCaskey down the halls.
That's why they gave up a second-round pick for
it's
got
like a
it.
Third round if you weren't wheeling her around.
You know they say the more you can do in the NFL. Oh,
but they're the best team that made a move. So, yes, he'll be the most impactful guy on the best team.
I'm going to check it. I think that that's a big move for the 49ers. But the Minnesota Vikings acquired a quarterback in Josh Dobbs. That could be the difference in them making the playoffs versus missing it. So for me, when you have that kind of move where the guy can impact your team getting into the postseason, then yeah, I'm going to say that's the most impactful move. So I got to check that. Chase Young was not the biggest trade yesterday.
Respect it or check it. The Cowboys will regret not making a trade.
I'm going to say check it because I have a feeling we'll see guys get released, asked out. Like, they'll find themselves a running back if that's the biggest
need. So it's like the NFL, the NBA buyout market?
Well,
like,
we saw
like
it
that?
Years ago with LeGarrette Blount. Remember when LeGarrette Blount was on the Steelers? Like, nah, I'm good. I want to go there.
Yeah.
I feel like you'll see some of that over the next few weeks.
I'm going to respect it, Smalls. I just think that for the Dallas Cowboys, we don't judge them based on what they do in the regular season. We judge them based on what we think they can do in the postseason. And they needed a physical presence in the run game. They don't have a physical identity. identity on the offensive line. That O-line is not as dominant as it once was. They need a running back that can, in certain instances, BYOB. That's bring your own blocker. They need somebody that can break more tackles, especially on runs in between the tackles. Tony Pollard is a fine running back. He's a slasher, a perimeter player. You could also use him in the passing game, but he is not a thumper. He's not going to get you those tough yards. He's not a guy that I love to lean on in short yardage, red zone, goal line. They miss Ezekiel Elliott. I'm not saying that he was the guy, but they needed something of that ilk in order to give them the kind of balance they need on offense.
Yeah, after the Eagles and the 49ers who go out and make trades yesterday, you really expect the Dallas Cowboys to do something,
You would
something
think that
too.
They would keep up with the Joneses,
right?
You think
that they would have that sense
you
of
You think
urgency.
That they would keep up with the Joneses.
All right, one more. Let's go to the NBA. Respect it or check it, fellas. The 76ers will have more playoff success than the Clippers in the wake of the James Harden trade.
Until I know who they're getting for the pieces they just got, and I know that they're doing it now in season, I'm going to say check it, that I'm going to believe in the Clippers more than the Sixers.
Respect it. I don't know how you can believe in the Clippers when you don't know which Clippers are going to be healthy once we get to the playoffs. So, I mean, Kawhi Leonard has missed, what, 11 playoff games over the last two postseason appearances? How the hell can you trust the Clippers? Can't trust them.
Yeah, I think I'm just going to go with
I love Ty Lue as a coach. Can't trust the players.
I think I'm just going to default to trusting Embiid more out of any
in the playoffs?
Well,
remember, you're talking about – you asked the question about playoffs, not who do you trust in general, because Embiid hasn't had the playoff success.
Well, the Sixers are always in the second round of the playoffs. They might not get past the second round. They're always in the second round.
Yeah.
All right. Well, coming up, Michelle Smallman will tell you why Angela Lansbury's career is overrated. Next on Sportsmanlike ESPN Radio.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.
He survived a terrible, terrible moment in our history.
The most unsportsmanlike moment of the day.
That was terrible.
Was not a great look.
Yes, it is time for our most unsportsmanlike moment of the day. The funniest, the quirkiest, the weirdest, the dumbest from us. Moment of the day on the show. Before we get dumb, let's get smart. Unsportsmanlike moment of the day brought to you by
O'Reilly. Are your wiper blades chattering, skipping, or squeaking? Don't compromise your visibility with streaks or smearing on your windshield. When it's time to replace your wiper blades, stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts. The professional parts people will help you choose from their wide selection to find just the right wiper blades for your vehicle. They'll even install them free of charge. That's free 99. See better and drive safer with new wiper blades from O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts.
All right, so we have Michelle Smallman hating old ladies. That's
a moment
on the show today. Michelle hates old ladies.
Okay? I love my elders.
Doesn't seem like it, just throwing that out there. All right, let's a couple of nominees on Sportsmanlike Moment of the Day. All right? So, Wemby, big game last night against the Suns.
Yep, that happened.
Was a TNT national TV game. And Shaq and Charles and Kenny and Ernie were all talking about Wemby last night. And Shaq and Barkley had an interesting exchange.
He's never seen a guy like Wimbiana. Yes, you have. His name is Bobo.
You think Wimbiana?
Let me
Let me finish my point.
They both black or something?
No, let me finish my point. Wembanyama is just way more consistent than Bobo. But Bobo is
okay.
First of all, that's not. Wembanyama is way more consistent than Bobo.
He's only played three games.
No, he's talking about over his French league and
are
all
you
that
comparing
stuff.
Wembanyama to Bobo?
Bobo is the first 7'4" guy that we've seen come out with the handle, shoot the threes. Yes.
The irony of this, now the Barkley part is the funny part, which we'll get to, but the irony of this is that Bol was in that game last night for the Suns and didn't play.
Yeah.
Now, I happen to like Bol as a player. Like,
he
I think
meant
he's good.
Manu Bol, yeah.
No, he meant Bol, because Bol, the way he played last year for the Magic at times was actually very good. He ain't Wembanyama.
No, he's not even close.
But
no.
Barkley asked him if he just simply compared the two because of their race.
Yeah,
that's the similarity between the two.
And here's the crazy thing. Shaq was actually very complimentary of Wemby yesterday. Mm-hmm. Like, he was talking about how he's not going to be criticizing Wemby a lot because he really likes his game. There's nothing not to like about Wembanyama. Do they want him to post up more? Sure, but it's not as if he doesn't have the skill set. It's just a matter of him being able to develop his body. And for a 19-year-old, you can understand that because he's still growing. So, yeah, there is nothing that we've seen from Wembanyama that would tell us that this guy is going to be a bust. He's going to be a star as long as he can stay healthy. And based on everything we're seeing and how he's impacted the game on both sides of the court, the Spurs might be better than most people are actually predicting in his rookie season.
So that's one nominee on Sportsmanlike Moment of the Day. A lot of people have been discussing, including us, the Michigan situation, mm-hmm. the spying on the sidelines, whatever it may be. We played audio from Jim McElwain, the head coach of Central Michigan today, talking about it. Booger McFarland. We played Heather Dinich. We played all these people. But I don't know that anyone broke down this Michigan situation better than Chris Canty today.
No, we don't have that one. This is a different Canty.
Sorry, this is a different Canty one. Oh, I thought Canty's. Okay, I thought we had something else.
No, this was a different one. Where
My bad.
We all try to figure out. We were talking about the head-to-head stuff, and Canty, I think you tried to say you agreed with Evan, but this is what came out.
I agree with what Evan 7 is saying. What is that gibberish? What is it? Play it again? I can't even.
It's so painful for CC to agree with me that came out.
What is it? Play it again? I agree with what Evan 7 is saying. I think I wanted to say I'm agreeing with everything that Evan is saying. But
yeah, that's not what just came out.
I know it's not. I don't know. I was speaking in tongues just now. I don't know what that was.
These are early morning. Sometimes it's hard to formulate words.
Play that again if we could.
I agree with what Evan 7 is saying. I agree with everything that Evan is saying.
No, forget that. We know what you're actually saying.
That's what I'm trying to say.
But Michelle, it was 8:30. It was at 8:30. It wasn't at like 6:15. It was at 8:30 when he said that.
Yeah.
Okay, wait. Let's see if we can write down and say back what you actually said.
Okay, let's transcribe.
So I agree with, we know that part. All right, play it again.
I agree with what Evan 7 is saying.
Oh, my God.
Is there a 7 in there?
I agree with what 7 is saying. One more time.
I agree with what Evan 7 is saying. Yeah, there's a 7 in there. There's definitely a 7 in there.
I mean, 7
does run. There's definitely a 7 in there. There's definitely a 7.
Wow. People can tweet us at UnsportsESPN, at Evco Radio, at M. Smallman, and at Chris Canty99 on Twitter, as to your translation. If you can transcribe that for us, we would appreciate it.
Good luck. Good luck with that.
Liam Neeson taking
good drop. Luck with that.
And what did I have to say about the Bears today?
Somebody in the McCaskey family has to be the fall person.
Somebody.
Well, how do you fall if you're already on the ground? That's small. Don't put this on me. You know what I've noticed about Smalls? When
why are you making fun of old people, man?
That's right. Ages.
Why are you making fun of old people?
You.
Why are you making
you're
fun of
you're the one who did it, Smalls.
Excuse me. No. I'm just holding ownership accountable.
And she owns the team. Virginia McCaskey does own the team.
I'm just saying. It doesn't. Is there a certain age threshold to where we say, okay, it doesn't matter if you're bad at your job?
I think there is, though.
There gets to
a certain age where it's just like, they're just kind of who they are and you have to dismiss it.
I
will say this.
Speaking of
my dad, once upon a time, we're driving in Brooklyn. We're going to pick up something. I'm having a charity event and somebody wanted to donate some products. So we're going to pick it up. And the GPS is trying to take us around the corner, and my dad looks down the block, and he's like, it feels like a shortcut. And I said, Dad, you're going down the wrong way on a one-way street. He looks at me, straight face, dead serious. Son, I ain't going but one way. Keeps on trucking the wrong way down a one-way street to get to where we're going.
Whoa.
At that point, I realize that
logic has gone out of the window. It's whatever they want to do, whenever they want to do it, whatever they say, whenever they want to say it. That's what it is. That is it. I think there is a certain age threshold. I want to say around 70-ish is when we get there.
So Bill Belichick is how old?
Yeah, exactly.
Stop it. Don't make this anti-Belichick. What are you doing?
I'm saying 70 is the threshold.
70-ish. I'm going to say ish.
Let's focus on the important thing. Yeah. I'm impressed that your dad is willing to use GPS. My dad is unbelievable.
Well, he wasn't using the GPS.
My dad won't do it. Yeah. Will not do it. Like, he knows, he is unbelievable with directions. My dad can find anything, anywhere. But there'll be times where I'll say, like, they'll come and be with my kids, right? And I'll say, oh, you know, if you're going to be with them, that's great, whatever. My son has this at this time. You can just drop him off there. And he goes, well, where is it? And I said, just put it in GPS. He said, well, where is it? I said, just put the name of the place in GPS. He won't do it. Wow. I'll just try to
But what's the
out.
Logic behind it, though?
What says it?
I'm going to make things harder for myself.
He keeps a map in the car.
I know exactly where I'm going. I can read street signs and I can read a map.
Thing.
I'll never be lost. Yeah, but you got this device called a cell phone that has a navigation system built into it.
Utilize it.
I am the navigation system. If you look at the North Star when the sun is setting a certain way and drive that direction, that'll get me to where I'm going. You ain't Magellan. You ain't Jacques Cousteau. Like, just use the damn GPS.
Amazing Magellan reference.
My dad keeps a map in the car with him.
A real physical map?
Yes.
I bet your dad does too. The GPS on your phone is like a map.
Doesn't matter.
I don't understand that. It's a better map.
Most cars have it on the screen in the car.
That's the other thing. You could just hit it and it throws the OnStar system and all of that stuff in cars now. Like, they will tell you where to go. Just follow the directions.
Wait a minute. We may have an unsportsmanlike moment within the unsportsmanlike moment. Nuno, go ahead.
Grant, Canty, it's Jacques Cousteau, not Jack Cousteau.
Oh.
Okay. Jacques Cousteau. Okay, same difference. I mean, okay. One of them explorers.
That's his nickname.
Exactly.
Nuno was very excited to get
that
into my ear.
Okay, congratulations, Nuno. I got you. There you go.
Jacques versus Jacques.
Okay,
that's
Jacques.
What you have there.
Jacques.
Jacques. I just made him a strap.
I didn't know we were going to go there.
Yeah. Okay, anyway, there you go. So what's our winner, the unsportsmanlike moment of the day?
Oh, you picking on Virginia McCaskey.
Me! Yeah, don't make this about me. Smalls
no,
hates old ladies.
You picked on Virginia McCaskey.
Greeny, coming up next. We're on to Thursday on Sportsmanlike ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.